countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Well, it's hard to imagine the excitement in the tiny village of Cong in County Mayo 70 years ago this weekend, because 7 decades ago, across locations in Galway and Mayo, John Ford began filming his classic film, The Quiet Man, and Cong found itself at the heart of the action. The film starred Hollywood legend John Wayne and our own Maureen O'Hara, and told the story of the drama that unfolded when American Sean Thornton met a local lassie called Mary Kate. And even 70 years on, the memory of that summer in 1951 lives on in the stories and memorabilia collected by the community. Jerry Collins and his daughter Lisa guide visitors to local landmarks connected with the film. So when our reporter Mike McCarthy went to Cong, he began by meeting Lisa, who showed him props from the film.
So here in the Quiet Man Museum, we have the original fishing rod that was used by Father Lonergan, or Ward Bond, in the Quiet Man movie. It was originally owned by the Sound Man, and he was originally from County Mayo, had immigrated to the States, and when he found out that they were making the Quiet Man in Cong, he knew that Cong was a very good fishing territory. So he brought his fishing rod with him, and of course the prop department weren't very organised. They didn't have any, very few props, and so they commandeered T.A. Carman's fishing rod, and they used it in the movie, and then when they were finished, they gave it back to him, and he used it for many years in California and left it in his fishing cabin. And when he passed away, his granddaughters thought it would be a lovely idea to bring it here to Cong and donated it here to the Quiet Man Museum so that it could be enjoyed by everyone.
Quiet! Oh, please, see my otter behind that rock? He's the king of all salmon.
I've got to talk to you, Father.
I've been trying to get this one for 10 years.
This is a real piece of history.
Yes, here we have the original harness from Micheline Ogue's horse Napoleon. And of course, Napoleon plays a wonderful part in the scene where Micheline is chasing the courting couple. He's supposed to be chaperoning Sean Thornton and Mary Kate, but they are getting tired of having him watching over them all the time. So they steal the tandem from outside the Reverend Playfair's house, and they cycle down the street, the main street in Cong, and go around the corner at the Pat Gohan Bar at top speed. And Micheline's horse is so used to pulling up every day outside the pub that he pulls up automatically. And Micheline looks at the horse and he says, "Bedad, I think you have more sense than I have myself." This is the dying man's house. The dying man in the movie was played by Francis Ford, John Ford's brother, the director's brother. And apparently the two brothers were not speaking at all during the making of the movie. So although this is one of the last scenes in the movie, when the dying man is getting the last rites from the young curate Father Paul, and he's in a bad way, but all of a sudden he hears the fight go by at the end of the street. And like any good Irishman, he's not going to let dying stop him from seeing the fight that's been brewing in the town for the last few weeks.
Hey, is that real? She couldn't be.
Ah, nonsense, man. It's only a mirage brought on by your terrible thirst. Come up, Napoleon.
Maureen O'Hara looks absolutely stunning in this scene, and she's surrounded by the sheep. But they had quite a difficult time filming it because John Ford was a very organised director. He had visualised how he wanted the scene to look. He wanted the green fields to contrast against Mary Kate's red hair and the white of the sheep to pop against the blue of the sky. But the sheep weren't playing ball. They were scattered all over the field. He wanted them in one cluster around Maureen O'Hara's feet. So he started to give out to Maureen O'Hara. And as John Ford was giving out to Maureen O'Hara, my great uncle, John Murphy, he interrupted Mr. Ford and he said, now, Mr. Ford, I have somebody who'll help you with the sheep." And Ford looked at him as if to say, "What are you talking about?" So John Murphy said, "Give me a few minutes." He ran up to his farmyard on the other side of the castle and he brought back his sheepdog called Jacko. And Jacko played the part beautifully. John Murphy is outside of the screenshot, but he's whistling to Jacko, telling Jacko exactly where to keep the sheep. And so John Ford was delighted because he got to keep that scene the way he had envisaged it, with the sheep right around Maureen O'Hara's feet.
I think your in-laws are coming to visit you, Squire and Ireland.
So this is the field where the fight started.
That was a dirty blow,
You remember, Sean Thornton drags Mary-Kate off the Dublin train and he drags her through this field here up to meet her brother. Danaher is making hay with his workers, so Sean has to stand up to try and get Mary-Kate's dowry for her, and he says, Danaher, you owe me £350, let's have it. And of course Danaher is not willing to hand over the money, so Sean says, no fortune, no marriage, we call it quits. And he throws Mary-Kate right at Danaher's feet. Begrudgingly anyway, Danaher hands over the money and Mary-Kate opens the furnace and throws the money in. Danaher then sneakily throws the first punch of the fight, sending Sean rolling down the hill. And of course it was the longest fist fight in cinema history, started here and went all the way around the village of Cong. And they had great fun when they were making this scene, filming this one, because John Ford and John Wayne decided to play a trick on Maureen O'Hara. They got all the locals to kick the sheep dung that was in the field right into the path where Mary-Kate was going to be dragged. And so she was dragged through the dung, and she talks about it herself in interviews. You know, she said that it was a real nasty thing for the director to do to her, and that she smelt for all the rest of the day, and he didn't allow her a bucket of water apparently to wash her hands or her feet.
3-1 I'm giving on Danaher. 3-1 I'm giving. I take some of that. £10 I'm torn to. Done.
On the Quay Road, we arrive at McInnion's Manor, a house dedicated to the movie. Here you will find the largest collection of white man photographs ever assembled. Jerry Collins.
All through my growing up years, I heard stories from my grandfather, who was an extra. I had 7 or 8 uncles. They all told me stories. And the locals in Cong, Jack Murphy and the Pat Cohen Bear, he told me loads of stories. So we gathered up all the stories and put them together. Lisa and myself went out to all the locations, and then Lisa said we should start tours.
And when did you realise this was someplace special, that the whole world was having a look at this place in Cong?
Well, I used to drive a bread van. Every evening when I come back, Margaret would have 10 or 11 tourists looking to see where was this location, where was that location. I used to have to sit down and draw a map for them. And that got a bit tedious. So Lisa came up with the idea that she'd do a map of the whole lot of the locations. And she wrote a map when she was only 12, and a guide, and all the tourists went out looking at the locations from that guide. John Wayne's widow Josephine came to the museum, Melinda and Tony. And Tony is dead since, God rest her soul. And Melinda asked us to send a photograph. And John Wayne's widow, Josephine, wrote in the visitor's book, Duke would have loved this.
And then the next generation began to arrive.
Marissa Wayne and Aisha Wayne came and visited the B&B here, stayed for 2 nights each at different times. And then the 2 grandchildren, 2 boys, came at different times as well.
Jerry Collins and his daughter Lisa, who took Mike McCartney on a tour of Cong this week.